All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. My name is Bomani Jones. That is Dominique Foxworth. It's just me and you. It's kind of like the podcast, except we can't cuss on here.
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of hate tweets either way.
Oh, well.
Did the Rams give up too much for Matthew Stafford?
All right, Matt Stafford is headed to Los Angeles. The Rams, who apparently have sworn off first-round picks. They don't ever want a first-round pick ever again. You know, the last time they used one was on Jared Goff. You know, the next time they'll have one, 2024, because the 2021 pick is already headed to Jacksonville. The 2022 and 23 picks are now going to Detroit, and they also went with Jared Goff on the trade. Now, whether or not you think they gave up too much really depends on whether or not you think of Jared Goff as an asset or a liability, right? Because it seems to me that the Rams looked at this and the Lions looked at this as, if we're going to take your dead weight, you're going to have to put a pick in his pocket. That's what happened when Brock Osweiler got traded to the Cleveland Browns that time. They stuck a pick in his pocket in order to make it better. I think this was probably the move for the Rams to make. Think about this. They have a great defense. They just added a pretty good, and in some people's eyes, very good quarterback. That might be enough to win a Super Bowl. And if having that is enough to win a Super Bowl, then what are you tripping on those picks for?
Yeah, they were competitive in the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers with Jared Goff. And we all accept now that the one really high-level year from Jared Goff, that was the aberration. This is not the Jared Goff that we expected then, but this is the Jared Goff that we knew before Sean McVay got there. So I think this is a smart move for them because you're right. You go all in. And we saw that with the Packers last year. They did not go all in with that draft pick. And I know some people might think it's a little hard on them to say that drafting Jordan Love really hurt their Super Bowl chances, but it damn sure didn't help. I'm a real believer in when it's your window, you go all in this unique way that the Rams are building a roster in their team. Like, I kind of think it works in a situation when other people are zagging. So they're going the opposite. That's a smart thing to do, to be able to pick up on this opportunity when you find a team whose GM came from your own organization. They are clearly getting ready to go for a tank. You find them, they'd be willing to take all your trash so that you can go all in right now. And maybe you figure out your future when you get to your future, especially if you're a coach like Jared Goff or one of these players who, you know, your time there may be short if you can't win a championship.
And for the Rams, it was this rare chance. It's really not often that you can get better at quarterback in 1 year by going and getting somebody else. Like, normally a quarterback that's worth having, nobody is letting him go. The Detroit Lions, who were him and Calvin Johnson up for, what was it, $1, $2 million after he retired, they're a lot nicer to Matt Stafford. And we're like, nah, we'll try to get you to a place where you want to go. And so for the Rams, this was perfect. I don't think Stafford is great, but I do think Stafford is pretty good. And it ain't that easy to find a quarterback that's pretty good. They were able to do that. If you got that chance, you got to try it, right?
Yeah, and pretty good can turn into great in the right situation. If they don't ask much of him, if they can recreate a good running game, if they can rebuild that offensive line, if that defense can continue to play at a high level, and they only ask Matt Stafford to make 10 to 12 great throws a game, 5 good ones maybe, something like that, then we could see Matt Stafford put together an MVP caliber season, because we saw Jared Goff do it in a similar situation. And we all agree that Matt Stafford is better than Jared Goff. So I think a lot of the excitement about Matt Stafford isn't about Matt Stafford as much as it's about, hey, you could do that with Jared Goff. And Matt Stafford was doing pretty well in a situation where he had none of that support.
Hey, man, let me ask you something about Jared Goff. You see that Mike Silver thing on NFL.com where he talked to Goff, and Goff is so happy about going to some place where he feels like he's wanted. And who going to tell him?
You going to tell him? That broke my heart. No, I'm not going to tell him. I don't want to look in that man's eyes and tell him that. It broke my heart when I read that, because I was like, why they attach a pick to it then?
Right. Nobody else offered 2 first-round picks. The only team that offered 2 first-round picks was also offering Jared Goff.
And the reason why they want you there is because they want to lose. That's why they're like, you know who our perfect quarterback's going to be? This guy. He's going to make sure that we are pew-wee stinky.
Man, that's what you got to do, though. When the office calls you in and being like, yo, you're being transferred from the L.A. office to the Detroit office, you got to talk yourself into that, baby.
How high should the price be for Deshaun Watson now?
All right, so you remember I asked that question in that last trade with Stafford and Goff. The question was, did you view Goff as an asset or a liability he combined with his contract? Because that affects the way that we look at this with Deshaun Watson. You probably don't have to give up 3 first-round picks just because Matt Stafford got 2, because one of those picks is probably to account for the fact that they have Jared Goff. So it's probably going to take you at least 2 first-round picks. But Dominique, could it still maybe take a 3rd first-round pick in order to make this happen? Because I think the thing that people are losing sight of in this, the Houston Texans do not have to do a damn thing to make this dude happy. He will have to go home and do like Carson Palmer, sell his house and leave and threaten to retire, because otherwise he doesn't have a single bit of leverage.
Yeah, and it seems like people believe that he's willing to do that. I know that I heard Adam Schefter this morning point out that Deshaun Watson has come from very little, so he is comfortable with the amount of money he has. That might change when you get up and them checks ain't clearing no more, you're getting fined. So we'll see how that pans out, but I do think it's in the best interest of everybody moving on. And your point about the Stafford compensation is right. Throw that out. That has nothing to do with this. It's not like we're signing a free agent. This is about a bidding war. That's what it's going to come down to. A number of teams think that they may be a quarterback away. And it's going to come down to all those teams going one-upping each other. But at the end of the day, the thing that matters, Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. So it's going to be a real tough deal to pull off, because presumably the teams that are willing to give up 3, 4, 5 first-round picks to get Deshaun Watson, I wouldn't say that was a terrible idea to get a 25-year-old franchise quarterback. However, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm like, do I want to go there? Is that not similar to the situation that I'm trying to escape? So I'm not sure how this plays out, especially given the fact that he has a no-trade clause.
Yeah, that actually is a great point. Like, one of the big reasons to get out of Houston is because they did not have picks, because they were trading them all away, and wherever you wind up going, they're going to have to wind up trading the picks away. But I think the Rams are kind of onto something here with this idea of give me something that I know, because we're all guessing with these picks. Let's take the guesswork out of it.
Is it a big deal that the Nets lost to the Wizards again?
Okay, I know you've probably seen this number by now because everybody's rattling it off, but since James Harden got to the Nets, they have put up an offensive rating that would be the highest in the history of the league, and a defensive rating that would be the worst in the history of the league. Now, you need to see how this ended against the Wizards, who, by the way, stink. All right, so Kyrie makes the free throw.
On the board tonight.
5-point game.
Wizards have no timeouts. 10 seconds.
Here we go. Nets ball's coming up the floor. Brad Beal.
Wow.
All right. So now the Nets got to figure out what to do in them ugly jerseys. Ball comes out. The ghost of Russell Westbrook. That may be the last time in his career he hits a shot from that spot on the floor. Boom. There we go. They're up, and they beat the Nets for the second time this year. They're 2-12 when they do not play the Nets. And yes, it is a big deal. Let me tell you why it's a big deal that the Nets lost this game. Because Kyrie had an excellent offensive game. Kevin Durant had an excellent offensive game. Joe Harris scored 30 points. And Jeff Green, maybe year 14 is the year, he had an excellent offensive game. And they still lost. They could. Westbrook scored 41. My man Joel Anderson made the point. They're like watching the Doug Moe Nuggets. And it looks like the Doug Moe Nuggets just lost the game because they gave up 41 to the ghost of Tiny Archibald.
I mean, I initially want to say, like, that's kind of a fluke ending. Stuff like that's not going to happen. But they scored damn near 150 points. Like that, I understand net rating, blah, blah, blah. We could go advanced analytics, statistical breakdowns, talk about defensive rotations, being on a string. None of that matters. You gave up 100 and almost 150 points. That is all-star game numbers. And I understand that you're going to have to try to outscore everybody, but have we ever seen an NBA champion who doesn't lock down on D? I know we remember those great Warriors teams as being all these offensive juggernauts, but no, they were special on defense. You saw last year, LeBron and AD, special on defense. Like, as much as we talk about in the NFL, maybe defense wins championships, that clearly is false at this point. It might be true in the NBA. If you can score a certain amount of points, but at some point, you're going to have to lock down on defense, and all champions have to. And this team is obviously built to win a championship, and they can't do it, and Steve Nash don't know what to do about it. They're going to have to make another trade.
That's what I was about to say. Who's supposed to come up with the solution to this problem? Is it going to be Steve Nash? Is it gonna be Mike D'Antoni? Who is the person that's supposed to figure out how to cook up a solution to the, and they look, they only play like six dudes. Like, they have no depth whatsoever. The only way that they can beat anybody is scoring a zillion points. But even when they score a zillion points, they lost to the Cavs the other night. They lost to the Cavs twice.
Listen to this. This is how I think about it. This is how bad their defense is. Is that no matter what team they are playing against, they have three MVP-level offensive players, cannot outscore the other team, who does not have that.
Yes.
Can you imagine that? If they have the same amount of possessions, somehow they're so bad on defense that they make the Cavs and the Wizards better scorers than Durant, Harden, and Irving. What is you doing?
Right. The league is looking for teams like, damn, how can we score like the Nets? And the answer is play the Nets.
Up next on HQ.
Did he still not have a chance to get his suit? How is nobody talking about that part? Look at this dude. This is your actual press conference.
Do you question if you feel bad for Rodney Magruder?
All right, so since Klay Thompson can't play, he is taking up broadcasting as a side habit. And if something happens and I am unable to broadcast for a year, I will take up NBA basketball. Let's see how this goes.
They hold the Pistons under 40%.
That's Rodney Magruder.
What are you doing over there? Is a little scuffle happening?
What are you talking about, Juan?
And then everything seems to be okay there.
Oh, my God.
Klay's figuring out. What's going on over there, Klay?
Rodney Magruder.
Oh, no. This dude might be out the league soon. He's probably mad about that.
Damn.
Wow.
Ooh.
Shots fired.
You over here checking my guy. You good?
Everybody seems to be okay, and everybody's going to their respective locker rooms there. But
yeah, I don't know. No.
So that will end it right there. But
that's savage.
Five over here trying to start something like he's a good player or something. It's like, bro, get out of here.
No.
He might be. Sorry. All right, we're done.
Easy.
We're done.
And if you thought that was harsh, here comes Draymond Green.
Draymond, what happened at the end there with Magruder?
I don't know. I was in the locker room. But apparently he was taking up for Wayne Ellington. When the f*** Rodney Magruder become the tough guy of the team? Like, I don't know, man. Everybody in the league tough these days. It's crazy. I've seen a lot of tough guys this year. I don't understand it. And don't nobody do anything. So, like, if you really wanted to do something, you could have done it. Walk over there talking like he's a team tough guy. Get the hell out of here. Tough guy, Rodney. Tough guy. I don't know, man. There's too many tough guys in this league these days for me. But I know ain't nobody scared of no damn Rodney Magruder. Like, kidding me? It's crazy.
Oh my God. What the hell happened? Right, like nothing that I saw in the first part seemed to lead to any of this other stuff. And these cats are like basically questioning Rodney Magruder's right to exist as an NBA player. I don't know if he's a tough guy. I don't know what he is. I don't know what he ain't. But I feel like if they play again, he's going to have to tell somebody something about what he is, right?
I mean, I'm pained for Rodney's sake, but it clearly to me is there's some sort of hierarchy that we all understand exists in the NBA. They weren't offended by what Rodney said or what he was doing because it didn't seem that harsh. They were offended that Rodney Magruder felt comfortable enough to act like he could talk that way. And that's what upset Draymond and Klay the most because that's what they went to first. Like, who are you? You may not even be in this league. That's something I'm not familiar with. While there is a hierarchy in football, it also, because it's kind of a physical game or much more physical game, I think guys kind of respect everybody. It's like, hey, that dude gonna come for me, he gonna come for me. But the only thing that I really had a problem with in all of that was the local announcers. Like, what are you doing? You trying to protect Klay Thompson? He about to go off. And you're like, oh, wait, whoa. I don't mind local announcers. Do your homer thing. But don't get in the way of good content. Klay was about to go off. Just be quiet. Clear out. Let us enjoy the ambiance.
Do you question Nick Sirianni's plan to turn the Eagles around?
All right, so Nick Sirianni is the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to remind you that Nick Sirianni showed up to his job interview dressed like regular because he was on vacation and didn't have a suit with him, and somehow there wasn't no mall in between where he was and the interview. So the Eagles showed up in their own casual clothes to make him more comfortable. He must have knocked that interview out the park, and I don't know how the hell he did it. Look at this.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team. That we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent takeover, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
Dominique, you, if you were playing on that team, how are you responding to this?
That's hard to get behind. We talk about guys who can command a room. Like, we always hear all this nonsense about all these alpha males. Somebody has to come in there and be the alpha of all alphas. That ain't that dude. And I feel sorry because, like, I understand being nervous and uncomfortable in front of the media. But them cameras ain't nearly as scary or as intimidating as a room full of grown men who are putting their health on the line every week to ball out for you and for them. So I'm going to find it hard to believe that guys are going to get in there and believe in him if he starts delivering these speeches or game plans like he just got it handed to him. Like, clearly, those talking points were just handed to him. They just gave him those notes, gave him a pullover, and pushed him in front of the cameras and said, read this.
Eric Bieniemy is at the crib furious right now. That David Culley dude is like, I'm 65 years old, and I had to wait for a team to catch on fire to get my chance. This dude is 40, and he couldn't even bother to wash his face before he came to his first day at work.
I imagine there's a lot of white coaches watching that too, who are very mad. You think Dan Campbell like watching that? Like, Dan Campbell, I had to come over here and make up a whole story. I gave you guys a story about fighting and biting kneecaps, and somehow y'all letting this man pass in a pullover.
Because even Dan Campbell came in there looking like Dan Connor in that suit he had on, but he at least gave it a try. But I feel like something in Nick Sirianni's life has led him to believe that he could behave like this and get away with it. Did he still not have a chance to get his suit? How is nobody talking about that part? Look at this dude. This is your actual press conference. You didn't bother to shave. I can understand if you didn't want to get a haircut because it was the pandemic. You look like you just got done working out.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Blazers and Bucks.
All right. This is a game that sounds like it'll be pretty entertaining. And Dame Lillard did one of these Dame Lillard things against the Bulls the other night. Let's get a look at this.
The game here in the fourth quarter so far.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. What? Deep look from outside. There's the three. What are you supposed to do with that?
Blazers get the tip. And then.
5 seconds left. Covington trying to get it to Dame. He puts it on the one more. Three
for Dame. God.
Painted. Damian. Damn, that's got to be demoralizing.
You're not going to trap that dude. Like, what games are you watching? You're not going to force it out. Like, I feel like if you want to win that game, maybe the Bulls aren't trying to win. But, like, there's one person on the floor, possibly on earth, that you want to shoot that shot at that moment less than Dame Lillard. Like, I don't think I could be an NBA coach, but I think the last second situation against Dame Lillard, I could come up with a plan. It's like, hey, you, and you get Dame Lillard. You get the rebound.
Yo,
that's it.
Those shots happen within 8 seconds of each other. And there's a bit of a scramble on that last play. And I just want to know, Lauri Markkanen, when it dawned on you, wait, I got to do this? Are you serious?
Tonight on ABC, The Bachelor.
All right, so the producer told us before that this is going to go to the credit sequence, and I misunderstood him. I thought he was saying that there was a credit check episode. Watch that. But let's look at the credits.
I like to be serious when I'm serious. I'm goofy. I like dancing. Yes. I love dance. I think life without dancing is boring.
We're going to dance right now?
Not me. I just want to see you dance. Yes.
Okay, oh. Sweet. You ready?
I am. I'm so ready.
This is the judgment. Okay. This is the judgment freezing.
I promise.
Oh, that's not how it works, buddy.
Okay. Uh-uh. You're
on TV.
Okay. What do you want me to do? I'm just gonna.
You just vibe. I'm gonna do my thing now.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
It goes like this.
Okay.
Oh. Oh no.
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 No. No. No. Oh no. Oh no. Oh man. Oh buddy. Oh wow. He has so much more self-confidence than me. And young lady, that was the absolute wrong approach to take in order to try to get that man to you. Cause I mean, the chances were against you in the first place. And how do I know that? He didn't learn that dance where you was hanging out. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I'm absolutely not intrigued. I wasn't intrigued before. I'm even less intrigued. But does he not understand the concept of The Bachelor? You the only dude there. You don't have to get up and try to impress them with your rinky-dink moves. Like, you are the coveted commodity. Does he not realize that that's how The Bachelor works? Has he been scarred from other years of life? Like, what is...
Well, I feel like he is tall enough that I thought that you just got to get comfortable with the big man two-step, right? Like, after a certain height, you just stay within your lane. You ain't got to do as much as them little dudes. Them little dudes got to be out here, like, you know, doing all the stuff they've been got out the beat it video and stuff like that. All you had to do was a little side-to-side action.
You don't have to do nothing when you're the only dude in a house full of heterosexual women. You don't have to do no dance moves, bruh. You don't have to do nothing. Just got to smile.
All right, that is the show. Check out Dominique Foxworth at theundefeated.com. You can check me out at The Right Time. It is a podcast. I think it's entertaining.
It's good, but you ain't never had me on in a long time. It's been a minute since I made the... since I made